Central Illinois. Hey, it's the T&J Show, 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. I am Lodse. He is Jeremy Warner. Hey. That was Mike Carpenter. Hello. Don't forget Cardinals Padres live from San Diego, loud and clear. 8:10 is the pregame, 9:05 first pitch right here on the new Connect FM.
Had a lot of baseball talk. I've teased you Cardinals fans.
You're dirty.
Into thinking that you might want to trade Albert Pujols. And that's surprising to me. But we're going to switch to some NBA draft talk. It's only, it's less than a month away here. And we join Matt Kamalski from DraftExpress.com. How you doing today, Matt?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Doing great. And the NBA draft heating up. We had the NBA draft combine. I guess that's what they call it now to steal a word from the NFL. But what's the word out of there out in Chicago? A lot of Illini prospects working out there. What was that like? What was that whole experience like at the combine?
It's kind of funny that you say that it is like the NFL. The NBA really wants to market it that way, but in all honesty, it's not really the greatest place to learn a whole lot about the guys that are in the draft. You're getting to see them go through some workouts. You're getting to see them go through some measurements and some really minimalistic athletic testing, but you're not really getting to see them do much competitively. This season they snuck some of that stuff in a little bit later in the week, and that made the scouts a little bit more happy, but it still leaves a lot to be desired. And in terms of the Illini guys that were there, Jeremy Richmond had a pretty decent showing, measured in around 6'6". He had some fairly positive interviews. It seems like he really understands his limitations, and Dimitri McKamey was one of the guys who people expected to perform well, and he did. He met expectations there.
Well, Matt, I mean, there weren't a lot of top prospects at this draft combine, so was this a chance for Dimitri McKamey to really separate himself from the players that were there?
This is definitely a good opportunity for him to do that. I mean, in the drills, he's really competing for kind of the range from the very end of the first round to kind of the middle of the second round. And all those guys were there. All those guys were competing. Obviously, if you were a lottery pick, and I mean, he could have gained a lot of ground. But here, I mean, you have a great place to compare a guy to because he's working out against Kalen Lucas's, the Jacob Pullens. He's going to meet those guys in workouts a little bit later on this week. This is a good opportunity for him to showcase his shooting ability. And I mean, they have a wide enough array of drills where really any player is going to be able to show what they can do. And especially with a guy like McKamey, when they put him through the shooting stuff, he's going to show well. And that's certainly what he did.
Talking NBA draft with Matt Kamalski from DraftExpress.com. Dimitri McKamey, does he still have a chance to be a first-round pick, and does he have to find a certain team to kind of fill that role that falls in love with him to be a first-round pick?
I think it really is, especially for him, in terms of getting into the first round. It's going to come down to need, like you said. Late in the first round, there's going to be some teams that are going to take an interest in him just because of his ability to the way he played this season, the way he distributed the ball this season, and his ability to shoot from the perimeter. And I think that there's going to be a handful of teams late in the first round that have him on their board. Whether he's ultimately the guy that gets picked there is going to be determined in the next couple of weeks as teams begin to bring guys in to have private workouts with them, to interview them, to get to know them on a little bit more personal level and really decide what they're looking for in a player and what the current draftees have to offer.
Matt, it sounds like Dimitri has shed some weight, and according to one article I had read, that he actually played a lot of really good defense while he was there. Is that something that he really has to showcase to make that kind of a jump?
Yeah, I think that was the biggest positive for him this season on the whole. I mean, even coming into the regular season down there at Illinois, I mean, he had lost a significant amount of weight, and the fact that he's continued to stay dedicated to that, I think, is really important because there's a lot of guys who come into this process or come into their senior year and have done the extra work, but they don't stick with it. And I think the fact that he was able to do that is really promising, and the fact that it improves his defensive potential is definitely a big plus because that's one of the big question marks for him is his ability to defend the point guard position on the NBA level. So I think it was definitely a good thing for him.
Talking NBA draft with Matt Kamalski from DraftExpress.com. Was at the NBA draft combine where Jeremy Richmond worked out. And Matt, I mean, is this an NBA prospect right now, or is Jeremy, a year or two away? But will teams still take a first round pick on him, do you think?
You know, that was really the kind of the consensus coming out of the weekend is that it's really up for debate whether or not a team is actually going to take a waiver on him in the first round and even the early second round. You look at his body. I mean, he is an obvious NBA body. But the fact of the matter is that his defensive tools are there, but his defensive game isn't all there yet. And he doesn't have enough reliable offensive skills for you to really pencil him into any significant role in the NBA at this point. One of the things that we've seen over the last few years is that teams who kind of had the luxury of having an early second-round pick that might have traded there, maybe a playoff team, they can grab a guy that maybe owns their own D-League team, can come in and draft a player like Richmond, put him on their D-League team for 2 years, and then 2 years from then kind of mold him into the player that they want to see him be and utilize him on the NBA level. Whether that's ultimately what happens with Richmond is debatable, but I definitely see him getting picked in the middle of the second round and getting a guaranteed contract, which, in all fairness, isn't something that we can say about a lot of the senior prospects and a lot of the other guys coming out of the Big Ten this year, like Kalen Lucas and the like, guys who are a little bit older who don't have the same upside as Richmond.
T&J Show talking with Matt Kamalski from DraftExpress.com. So where would Jeremy have been on your board for prospects coming in next year? I know you guys kind of look ahead. If he would have stayed in school, would he have been a for sure first-round pick in your mind, at least if he would have projected out like we thought he was going to be?
With the way that this draft has kind of pieced itself together, I think he would have been anywhere in between maybe 35 and 25 just because of the number of players that return to school. I mean, if everyone who would have declared this season, that we expected to declare this season, had declared, I think he would have been a little bit higher, maybe around 20. But in all fairness, next year is going to be one of the deepest classes we've seen in a very long time, and I'm not sure that he would have factored in as highly as he would have had those guys left.
Matt, Mike Carpenter here. So if you were just to project yourself, let's say 3-4 years down the road in the NBA, which, out of Dimitri or Jeremy Richmond, which one would you say would have the better shot of being a consistent contributor for an NBA team?
You know, I would definitely say McKamey, if nothing else, then as a third point guard. I feel like he's a guy that has a very clearly defined role, and if he keeps his body in the right shape and stays healthy for the first couple of years and adjusts to the speed of the game, I feel like he can be a very serviceable backup. He's a guy that if you can kind of pencil him into a role properly and really get him prepared to play that role, that can make those spot-up three-pointers that are so important in the NBA game and also distribute the ball off the pick and roll. And, I mean, if there's two things that NBA teams look for in a backup and a third point guard, those are really the first two things on that list. So I feel fairly confident saying that. Whether Richmond has reached his potential by then, I would say, is the real debate, is whether we're looking at a guy who's going to be maybe 2-3 years into his career and kind of come into his own, or if it's going to take him more time than that, or if he's going to follow a similar path as a James White, who played at Cincinnati in Florida, who is also a tremendous athlete, who's now overseas and is playing very well and now has a chance to come back to the NBA. But I think it's a much longer road for Richmond than it's going to be for McKamey, and I would definitely say that he's going to be contributing a little bit more a few years down the road. A
couple more minutes with Matt Kamalski from DraftExpress.com. If you're an NBA fan, NBA draft fan, that's where you want to go to check out his stuff. And Matt, one of the other guys on the Illini team, Mike Davis, a guy that's in the break, we were kind of talking about wondering if that's a kid that could hopefully, you know, stick with an NBA team, kind of do that grunt work and just kind of stick around for a while. Do you see any chance at all that Mike Davis could be drafted?
You know, I'm not so much sure that he's going to have a good chance at actually being selected, but last year we saw a couple of players of kind of a similar mold and magnum role wind up sticking with the Indiana Pacers for the vast majority of the preseason and then into the season. I think Mike Davis has the same opportunity. He showed really well in Portsmouth. He's incredibly long, and when he dedicates himself like we saw during his sophomore year, he could be a very good rebounder. If he's rebounding and he's shooting his mid-range shot well, I mean, he has the other tools to be a fairly effective pick-and-pop guy, a guy who can kind of come in and give some energy off the bench. And I think that if he can show that in workouts and he lands in the right place, should there even be a preseason camp, he might be in pretty good shape. But with the way the lockout's kind of heading, I think that he's probably going to be in Europe for at least this season. But that doesn't mean that we're not going to be hearing from him down the road.
Matt, you're talking about how next year is going to be a loaded draft class with Harrison Barnes, Jared Solinger, so on and so on. But this year, with all the guys that are returning, it seems like it's one of the weakest draft classes in a long time. So my last question for you is, this is the weakest draft class since what? Since when?
That is an incredibly, incredibly interesting question that we've talked quite a bit about. If we go and we look back, at the end of the day, it's really tough to say because coming into certain drafts, 2002 being one of them, we look at the level of talent and we project it before the draft occurs or before that initial season occurs, and we evaluated that as a pretty bad draft. I mean, we go through it every year where we say this is a decent draft, this is a bad draft, this is a good draft, and a lot of times at the end of the season we're wrong. That's really the challenge for scouts and analysts alike. It's just kind of the way it is, and I'm not sure that it's the worst since any particular draft, but in my mind, it is one of the least talented that I've seen in terms of the top of the crop since I've been doing coverage for that Draft Express.
Matt Kamalski, last question for me, is a kid that I loved in the Big Ten, and I don't know what it is about him, but I could see him making an impact in the NBA, and that's Etuan Moore. Is this a kid that you think can make maybe have some success at that next level?
I definitely think he can. And while he's not really the same type of point guard that Dimitri McKamey is, I think that a team in the middle part of the second round that needs some production off the bench in terms of scoring, that needs a guy who can stretch the floor for maybe a slashing point guard, a slashing three,
right,
will take a long, hard look at him. And I definitely think that if he lands on the right team, he's going to have the opportunity to, if that's all he's asked to do, he's going to be very successful in doing that. But it'll definitely come down to what teams are looking for guys like that and where he ultimately lands. But I definitely see him playing in the NBA next season.
All right, Matt Kamalski, DraftExpress.com. Matt, thank you so much. We appreciate your help on this, and maybe as the draft nears, we might have you on again.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
All right.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Matt. Matt Kamalski, and I don't know why.
I like Juwan Johnson a lot more than Etuan Moore.
Well, no, I agree. And Juwan is a big guy, so, I mean, there's always room for a guy like that. But there's something about Etuan Moore. I mean, that kid could go on stretches where he'd make 12 shots in a row. I like him, and I think, now this is going to be a few years before you guys can rip on me, I think Etuan Moore will have a fairly productive NBA career.
I wouldn't put money on it, but he's got decent size for a two guard.
Like Etuan Moore.
What's he, 6'4"?
Yeah.
Does he have the athleticism?
No. He's athletic.
Does he have the quickness?
I don't know that he has the quickness.
I think if he gets in the right role, he could be a very productive bench player. Like a Roger Mason Jr.
Right,
that's kind of
right.
Made it in the NBA. I think he could be that kind of player because he can score. We've seen he can score, he can shoot. I don't know if he's the greatest shooter, but he can shoot and he can get to the hole too. So I think he has a chance, but I like Juwan Johnson a little bit better, especially if he gets in the right system.
Doesn't that tell you just how good these NBA players are, though? When we look at a guy like Etuan Moore, who was so consistent in college and so good in college, and yet when you translate to the next level, it's like,
you're right.
Cut it, guys. I don't know.
All right.
That's how good these guys are.
It's A&J Show, 93.5, 95.3.
Connect FM.